From the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, July 18th, 2014. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. Support for KUAF comes from Edible Ozarkansas. The quarterly magazine focuses on food, farms, and culture in the Ozarks. Proceeds benefit hunger relief efforts through Feed Fayetteville and Feed Communities. More information, including subscriptions, available at edibleozarkansas.com.
Ahead on Ozarks, Becca Martin Brown from Northwest Arkansas Newspapers gives us a blueprint for a cheap weekend full of entertainment, plus the logistics of taking materials across the country. We have a story about the challenges of staying current in the trucking industry.
First, Arkansas prison officials and Arkansas lawmakers are continuing discussions about overcrowding in the state's correctional facilities. Yesterday, prison officials met with legislators in Little Rock. The legislature recently directed more than $6 million to open up 600 additional prison beds. The infusion of beds is intended to ease the burden many county jails have accepted in housing state inmates following the introduction of new parole enforcement measures introduced last year. When questioned by State Senator Stephanie Flowers, Ray Hobbs, director of the Arkansas Department of Correction, acknowledged the new space will allow county jails to take on more inmates of their own, likely leading to the same issue of overcrowding.
If we open up 600 beds, that has no direct relation to what they're going to put on the backup list after we open that up.
Because you're still not going to be able to clear out everybody that's in the county jails now.
That's correct. They may start serving warrants again.
Hobbs says additional space has been opened at facilities in Springdale and Malvern. Prison officials say they plan to ask the legislature for funding to build a new 1,000-bed prison, which is estimated to cost between $75 and $100 million. State Representative Andrea Lee asked Hobbs about the future growth of the population and whether a new prison would help.
In my opinion, what I'm hearing is it addresses our current problem.
That's correct.
Okay. And what do you estimate the growth at right now, annually?
It's between 800 and 1,000 inmates a year.
The growth is 800 to 1,000?
1.3%, yes.
The prison population grew by nearly 18% last year, a much steeper increase than in previous years. Officials say they also want to reduce recidivism among parolees by improving and expanding reentry programs and increasing the number of parole officers.
A National Transportation Research Group is behind a report suggesting Arkansas's rural roads have high rates of traffic fatalities and deficiencies. The Road Information Program, or TRIP, this week released the report, which defines rural roads as those used for traffic outflow from cities with a population of 5,000 or more. Rocky Moretti, the organization's lead researcher, says Arkansas's rural road infrastructure faces challenges.
I think what's challenging, and we've done work in Arkansas before, and certainly the state's transportation department recognizes the challenge, and to the best they can, they have been making steps to make roads safer. But, of course, resources are limited, and a lot of the safety improvements that are desirable have not been made yet in Arkansas. And so you've got a traffic fatality rate in Arkansas three times higher on its rural roads than all the other roads in the state. And then nearly a quarter of the state's rural roads are in poor condition. So the state really has two challenges: maintaining the system and making it safer at the rural level.
Moretti says Arkansas's rural towns mean a high number of residents and businesses rely on the rural roads on a daily basis.
But I think what's very critical is that the public has every right to expect that the roads they're traveling on are as safe as possible, so that when inevitably we all make little mistakes as we're driving or small errors, we need to be on a driving environment that we can correct for those mistakes without putting our lives at risk. And unfortunately, rural roads, as we see across the country, are not as safe as they should be. And that's really a tremendous goal across the country in transportation circles as we look to reduce fatalities in Arkansas and also across the country.
The study claims 23% of Arkansas's rural roads are in poor condition, making the state's rural thoroughways the 10th worst considered by the study. Arkansas also ranks 5th for fatalities on rural roads.
Bentonville city officials today are celebrating the topping out of the community center currently under construction off Southwest 1st Street. The final beam has been put into place. David Wright, Bentonville's Parks and Recreation Director, says considering when construction began, work has progressed at a steady rate.
We started construction at the end of November of last year, and really, from a construction practice, that's the worst time of year to begin construction because you're going into all this dirt work right into the winter, and you deal with all the rain and the snow and the cold temperatures when you're doing this type of work. And as bad as the winter was, we actually escaped it in pretty good shape. We do not have any significant delays, and things are progressing nicely.
The community center's steel skeleton is now complete, along with a handful of other pieces of the project. Wright says much work remains before the center can open sometime within the next year.
Where we're at right now is that you'll have to see the walls of the building will start coming up, the interior work, the framing of the all the interior rooms. Really, the biggest thing that's left, though, is in the natatorium. We're building two swimming pools with this project, and they just now began excavating the dirt inside the natatorium. So there's still lots to do associated with the project.
Total cost for the center is approximately $16 million.
The Republican and Democratic candidates for Arkansas's U.S. Senate race have been invited to participate in another debate. Yesterday, Senator Mark Pryor's campaign accepted the invitation for a second debate to be held October 14th at the University of Arkansas Global Campus in Fayetteville and would air on KHOG TV in the Northwest Arkansas market. The one-hour debate would follow a traditional format and be sponsored by the Fayetteville Chamber of Commerce and moderated by Roby Brock of Talk Business and Politics, along with a panel of three other reporters to ask questions of the candidates. Congressman Cotton has yet to accept the invitation for the Fayetteville debate, though both candidates have agreed to take part in another debate that will include all four Senate candidates to be televised on AETN.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals will try to halt a four-game losing streak tonight in Springfield, Missouri. Last night, the Naturals lost to Springfield 6-4. The streak has dropped the Nats from first place to 2.5 games out of first.
Partly cloudy tonight. Lows mid-50s in Northwest Arkansas, lower 60s for the Arkansas River Valley. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs in the mid-80s. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows in the mid to upper 60s. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and the publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, culture, and much more for the entire region. And on this, what is an unseasonably cool Friday, July, how are you, Mr. Tilley?
I'm doing well. It's nice to take the trash out and almost feel like a nip in the air in the middle of July. So interesting weather.
I was on the University of Arkansas campus yesterday to work on a story, and I think it's the first time I've ever seen the campus empty, green, and cool at the same time. Just an unusual phenomenon. Well, let's talk about something that the City Wire has done for a couple of years, and it's the startups to watch. You've been following some startups. There's an update on today's edition of thecitywire.com.
Yes, we earlier, I guess late last year, and then we started earlier this year, we talked to Jeff Amrine and several other folks in Northwest Arkansas about some of the up-and-coming companies to watch. And so we picked O Baby Foods, Overwatch, it's a gaming company, a company called DataRank, EchoVet, and Pika Solar. And this week we provided an update on O Baby Foods and Overwatch. Now, these are all companies that have either based or have a close affiliation in Northwest Arkansas. Interesting, Overwatch is a gaming company. Its CEO, Josh Moody, also just graduated from high school. Now, if that doesn't tell you where, you know, entrepreneurs are coming from, nothing will. But his company has an interesting gaming application, Overwatch, which essentially provides more of a gaming experience. It's combining gaming with GPS, so you can track your opponents, real-time opponents, using GPS. It comes with goggles,
good
hardware.
Grief.
It's fascinating what this kid has thought of, and he's working on or he says they're getting close to their final funding round of about $300,000. So we're not just talking about putting a few pennies together to pull a company together. And then Fran Free, with CEO of their O Baby Foods in Fayetteville, a great story. She was the mother who just, young mother, could not find organic foods, could not find baby foods that she was comfortable serving to her babies. And so she said she'll just, you know, that good old American, you know, mother or necessity is the mother of invention type thing. So she's founded her company. They are now in 39 states.
Wow.
Interesting companies. We're going to watch them through the rest of the year and then provide a summary of where they traveled in the 12-month period.
Something else you've been watching closely is the Fort Smith Board of Directors and requests for the board to look into how the city handles the billing practices of the city attorneys.
Right. This is, Kyle, this is one of those things that really just started off with one set of problems and has morphed into a much larger set of problems. And it's, you know, frankly, it has a lot of people in Fort Smith wondering about the competence and the direction of the overall Fort Smith Board of Directors. And I do not say that lightly. I'm not being glib about that. But this started when Little Rock attorney Matt Campbell raised some serious questions about the billing practices of Bailey and Woods Law Firm. And they represent, Bailey and Woods represents the city of Fort Smith. So instead of taking those serious, for whatever reason, the majority of the Fort Smith board and the city staff essentially dismissed those claims. They even had Daly and Woods, the law firm to which the allegations were against, investigate itself. They, not shockingly, found nothing wrong, so everyone was innocent. And two board members wanted to review this further. They wanted to establish a committee, seek some outside counsel to review this and to set the record straight. Well, those agenda items were set on the board in a public manner. Then four members of the board used a rule that's somewhat arcane and not a lot of people knew about, that you can remove agenda items in private without explanation, with no public discussion. So this is where we are. There's been a lawsuit filed against the city board suggesting that that's a violation of the Arkansas Freedom of Information Act, because they're essentially removing privately what was set in an ordinance to be discussed publicly. And so, you know, the ordinance may end up being legal, but I think there are a lot of people in Fort Smith. I just think that that's bad government, that it's not transparent government.
Well, and what's really odd about this whole set of circumstances is normally, this being an election year, we'd be talking about, well, the possible ramifications come November. But because there's only one contested seat, and it doesn't involve an incumbent, you think, well, there might not be any ramifications at the ballot box.
Yeah, there are no. That's a good point, Kyle. And I've heard people mention that that's why the board, some people believe the board's a little tone deaf on this, and politically tone deaf, I should say. And some people suggest that's why, you know, this will blow over and no one, you know, the next jeopardy they'll face is 4 years from now and people will forget by then. But I don't know. It's not just this incident. There have been four or five incidents in which I think people in Fort Smith are now starting to question, four or five incidents over the past, you know, 2 to 3 years, in which people are now starting to question, is this the form of government we need to, you know, do we need to go to a mayor form of government where there's at least one person accountable, kind of thing. So it's we're going to continue to watch it. Like I said, it just started out as some minor issues over legal billings, and it's really morphed into something that is causing people to question just what's going on at City Hall.
Finally, I want to bring up I-49. There's something that we'll be talking about, well, as long as you and I are gainfully employed. But
right, there you go.
Interstate 49, the stretch that will, they say, eventually connect, you know, Louisiana on up north and go through western Arkansas. That proposal has interjected itself into a congressional race.
Well, and which is nice to hear. You know, the 4th Congressional District race, we have to remember the 4th Congressional District now is more than 50% of the Fort Smith metro area, and it snakes up into northwest Arkansas to include Madison County. I know some people may not include that in there, but it's in that corner of the world. But, yes, we have Bruce Westerman, who's a Republican candidate, James Lee Witt, former Federal Emergency Management Director, is the Democratic nominee. This, of course, is an open seat because Tom Cotton is running against Pryor for the Senate seat. But they have, Witt released an infrastructure plan this week that focused primarily on completing Interstate 49 from Almond to Texarkana, as well as the Interstate 69 portion through the southern portion of the 4th District. And, you know, Witt, I would encourage people, I'm not campaigning, this is not my point. I would encourage people to go look at his plan. It has some interesting detail, and it's from a pleasant surprise, in the pleasant surprise category. It's kind of interesting to see congressmen talk in detail about completing a real project. You know, often what we get on candidates from both sides is, you know, kind of nebulous, I'm going to, you know, make your life better kind of stuff. But I'm sure that people who support I-49 are pleased to see that this is part, a significant part of the discussion, and hopefully it will continue. Now, the reality of that is, you know, we've seen what Congress has done or has not done in terms of the Highway Trust Fund and other things to support infrastructure in the country. So while it's nice to see these two candidates talk about I-49, you know, then we realize, then we have to remember they have to go to Congress and work with what's seemingly a dysfunctional Congress to get anything done.
All right. Well, you and I are going to take a couple of weeks off from talking to each other, but you'll be back around August 8th. How's that?
If you'll have me, I'll come back anytime.
All right. Thank you. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, and much more for the region. Michael, as always, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome, sir.
Later on this edition of Ozarks at Large, Handmade Moments take a few moments to play music inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. A duo takes us into the weekend with their music ahead on Ozarks at Large.
Hi, my name is Paul, your host for the Generic Blues Show, which airs every Friday night at 9 o'clock. Join me this Friday. We've got some new live music from Rick Estrin and the Nightcats. Also, Dickie Betts playing with John Lee Hooker, Janova Magnus, the Don Ray Band, Jesse D, the Cashbox Kings, and more. Again, that's the Generic Blues Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock. We'll see you then.
The business of logistics, getting items across the country by truck, by rail, by ship, is a trillion-dollar industry, and it's an ever-evolving one. Ozarks at Large's Sarah Burningham has this report.
Come on and join our convoy. Ain't nothing gonna get in our way. We gonna roll this trucking convoy across the USA.
Gone are the days when a long-distance truck driver's life was the stuff of movies like Convoy, Smoking and the Bandit, White Line Fever, a desirable, even glamorous job that meant freedom of the road. Fast forward from the 1970s to now, and truck drivers are in short supply. The American Trucking Association estimates there's currently a shortage of 25,000 drivers. I caught up with over-the-road driver Paul from Tulsa as he pulled up at the Greenland truck stop to the south of Fayetteville and asked him about the highs and lows of the job.
Probably the highs of being a professional driver is that you work without direct supervision. The low is you're away from home a lot. I'm home generally about 36 hours a week, see my family, you know, one day out of seven. So that's probably the low point, and that's probably what keeps a lot of people from doing this job is you're out quite a bit unless you find a good company that gets you in every week.
And that is dependent on the company, isn't it, in terms of how those dispatches work to get you back for things like birthdays and anniversaries?
That's correct. You know, you have to set it up with the company when you need to get back. And then it's if they can find a load that's going to get you by the house, it determines if whether you're going to get home or not.
What's the good stuff? What keeps you driving?
The money. I'm an owner-operator, so the money keeps me doing it. And I work for a good company. I do a dedicated route, so I do the same thing every week. And there's companies out there that are good companies to work for, and you know, there's drivers out there that like to be gone. So, but it's hard for the young drivers to get used to the time away from home, and their family has to carry the load, you know, when the washer breaks or the car breaks. You know, it's the wife that has to take care of it, not the husband.
So if someone was asking you, if you were meeting a young person who said, oh, I'm thinking about it, what would you tell them?
I would definitely give it a try, but they really need to think about, you know, all the, like I said, the time away from home and who's going to take care of the problems when they're away. Because you can make good money as a driver.
John Kent is the Assistant Department Chair for the Supply Chain Management Department at the Walton College of Management at the University of Arkansas. He says the driver shortage is chronic. Boomer drivers who were part of the Smokey and the Bandit heyday of the 70s are retiring, and the next generation is not waiting in the wings. The situation was exacerbated by the recession.
The carriers that did weather the storm are enjoying the fruits of that ability to weather that storm in the form of higher prices. The recession pushed out some of the supply of trucks. The demand for those trucks is coming back up. That's how the pricing model works on a daily almost basis. Not almost, it is. Much like a stock market, there's an entire market and even a brokerage area in trucking that's measuring that supply and demand on a daily basis. And as the economy improves, the demand for trucking improves, the prices go up.
Last month's 25th annual State of Logistics report from the Council of Supply Chain Management Professionals predicts up to an 8% rise in trucking costs this year, which will mean increased costs for the companies that ship all the stuff we buy from supermarkets, online retailers, and wholesalers, and could mean price rises for us. John Kent says logistics and transportation costs make up varying proportions of the price you pay at the checkout.
It depends on the product. For food, it could be 30%. I'm going to pick electronics or pharmaceuticals because electronics and pharmaceuticals are usually more expensive. So it'd be much less. A percentage of the cost that is logistics cost would be single digits potentially. As I mentioned, for food, it's significant. For food, especially for refrigerated, frozen produce, those type of items, temperature controlled. Yes, it's going to be more expensive.
So, if these driver shortages mean rising costs, how to fix a chronic problem that's been decades in the making? John Kent says the shortage is in spite of the fact that many aspects of the job have gotten better over recent years.
At one time, just like many automobiles, trucks didn't have air conditioners. Certainly they do now. The modern truck is more like a luxury automobile than it is, a farmer's pickup truck, so to speak. And so we have improved, or the industry has improved, the quality of life from where you need to sit for the 8 hours, 11 hours, however long you're going to drive.
Kent says Northwest Arkansas is home to two leaders in the trucking industry, Walmart and J.B. Hunt, and both have been innovators in tackling the driver shortage.
The J.B. Hunt example in intermodal is all over what we're talking about. Decades, and I say decades, and I don't know the exact year, but it's been 20 years or so ago, maybe even 30, probably not 30, but that J.B. Hunt started this move to intermodal. It doesn't take a PhD to realize that if we can take those trucks and put some of those trailers, lots of those trailers on trains for that long haul, that it will reduce the need for long haul truck drivers. It's also a very nice sustainability play as well. Walmart is, I don't know if they are the, but they're one of the top handful, and they may be the best paying company to work for if you're a truck driver. So how does Walmart address this? They first off, they want the safest drivers that they can find, and so you have to pay for those. Those safe drivers are in high demand. The safer your drivers are, the lower your insurance costs are going to be. And so again, if you're looking at the cost structure, there's more to it than just the pay. But Walmart is a leader in that area as well.
But maybe we should try turning the problem around a different way. Stop focusing on the lack of drivers and start fixing the demand side of the problem. Make the way trucks are loaded more efficient so you don't need as many, and find ways to ship what we need without taking up so much space. And one company's already doing that.
FedEx is changing their pricing structure from a how much does it weigh that you're shipping to how big is the package. Many of us have received packages from FedEx or UPS or other transportation companies, and when we open those packages, there's all kinds of air in those packages. And so Federal Express, to more efficiently load their trucks, which will, I think, turn into we need fewer trucks, fewer drivers, still have prosperous economy, they're starting to price or change the process and price their shipments based on the size of the package. So now the shippers, the vendor community, is going to be incented to shrink the packages. So we're shipping less air.
And one last solution to the problem. John Kent says we can all play a role in fixing the shortage.
So let's start looking at truck drivers like airplane pilots. But in many ways, safety, professionalism, customer service, let's increase the status of that role in our society. So from a shipper standpoint, where the truck loads or where it delivers, the company it's loading at or delivering to, let's have very nice driver lounges and facilities that welcome the drivers when they're there, so just improve that job. So then the recruiting, increasing the supply, becomes an easier sale when we're trying to do that. What we're talking about here is sociology, it's culture, it takes decades to change. I do think it is changing, and it's going to need to change to increase the status, the respect that we give to that industry. And I think that will help attract more young people that are coming out of our high schools to think about this as it's an excellent job when you think of it from a pay perspective, from a benefits perspective. The trucking companies hiring these drivers, they have retirement programs, medical benefits, dental benefits, you know, so a lot of the things that people are looking for quality of life, they're there. It's just finding those individuals that are interested in that, and so part of our job as a society, as a culture, is to improve that.
Maybe pilots' lounges replacing truck stops can do for transportation what Smokey and the Bandit did for driver recruitment back in the 70s. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Sarah Birmingham.
He's pounded down, loaded up and trucking. Are we gonna do what they say can be done? We've got a long way to go. And a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch old Bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal. Son, never mind them brakes. Let it all hang out, cause we got a run to make. The boys are thirsty in Atlanta.
This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, July 18th, 2014. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me, Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Well, I don't know about you, but by this time in the summer, my entertainment budget is pretty much bust.
Well, that's because you've had to spend it on firewood.
Well, okay, there's that.
You say summer, but it hasn't, and I'm not complaining, but it hasn't felt like summer.
Isn't
the last
it
couple
weird?
Of days. It's odd.
It's beautiful. We were just talking before we came on the air about it feeling like San Francisco in the summer.
But anyway, yes, because there have been so many good things to spend money on.
That we're going to have a really cheap weekend. So this is a great big weekend on a teeny tiny budget.
I like it.
Tonight, this is where you spend the big bucks, comparatively speaking, to the rest of the weekend.
Okay.
The Sound of Music is wrapping up this weekend at the Art Center of the Ozarks in Springdale.
It's already wrapping up.
And it is sold out for Sunday.
Okay.
It's almost sold out for tonight and tomorrow night.
Ooh.
So if you want to see it, you need to get on the phone, 751-5441, and make reservations. It has been a huge hit. Betsy Crouch Jilka is home for the show. You might remember her from ACO, but she's got street cred. She's got professional credits. John Jefferson, who was new in Blythe Spirit, the show I was in, has street cred. They're amazing. The Nuns sound like they ought to be on Broadway.
Mm.
It's beautiful. So don't mess around.
Okay.
All right, Saturday. a little more folksy. Mm-hmm. It's the Bella Vista Wood Carver Show from 9 to 4 at Reardon Hall in Bella Vista. You don't have to be a POA member to go, but you should bring some money just in case. The show's free, but there will be things for sale.
Okay.
There's a mini maker fair at the Rogers Public Library.
I'm very interested slash fascinated by this because the idea behind a maker's fair is people who make stuff and sometimes like your own boat or something, mm-hmm. show up to these. This is the first one I think Rogers has had.
Yeah, they talked about everything from robotics to chainmail.
Right.
So it should be fascinating, and it's free. It's from 10 to 4. It's Family Saturday at the Fayetteville Public Library at 10:30 with Brian Kinder. Mm-hmm. Always a good time. Dayton Steelman, who's a professor emeritus from the UA, is going to talk about insects that suck.
Mosquitoes, ticks.
Icky things.
Yeah.
At 1, 2, and 3 o'clock on Saturday at Hobbs State Park. That's free. I'm hoping he's not bringing examples. Or pretty insects in search of dragonflies with Robert Thomas at 6 o'clock at Devil's Den.
Fun.
Firefly Fling.
That's right, at Botanical Garden of the Ozarks.
Musicians, storytellers, fire spinners, a glow-in-the-dark illuminated hula hoop show, mm-hmm. an aerialist, smoothies, and ice cream. How can you lose?
You can't.
I hope there's coffee, too. 6 to 10 at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks. That's $8 for adults and $4 for children 3 to 13.
That's Saturday night.
Play It Forward, a new community concert series at the Walmart Museum in Bentonville. Mm-hmm. It's Saturday night at 6:30. They're going to have a trio from Sona perform.
Oh, fun.
It's $5. And Nature's Ninjas, the mysterious world of predator insects, again with Robert Thomas at 8:30 at Devil's Den, and that's free. And then on Sunday afternoon, you've got Mountain Street Stage with Candy Lee and the Sweets at the Fayetteville Public Library, mm-hmm. and Sidewalk Sunday at the Walmart Museum from 2 to 5.
And like you said, the only thing I think in there that really cost more than $5 was ACL.
So get out and have some cheap fun.
All right. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Give something away.
Let's
give some things away.
I like it.
All right. We have 4 vouchers to an upcoming Northwest Arkansas Naturals baseball game of your choosing.
Yes.
You trade them in for the best tickets available that night. 4 passes to any Malco movie theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then 4 tickets to a production of Seussical Jr. from Trike Theater.
Oh, fun.
And it's either July 25th at 7 p.m. or July 26th at 2 p.m. You decide.
Yes.
And KUAF koozie.
We just got those, brand spanking new.
That's right. So this person will be the first one to win a KUAF koozie that says KUAF on one side and iHeart NPR on the other.
Love it.
And I also asked everyone, you didn't have to, but if you wanted to tell me your favorite place to hang out outdoors in our region.
Oh, okay. So
I don't like getting the emails that just say, I want to win.
Uh-huh.
I like to have a little conversation.
Oh, okay.
So
who's our winner?
Steven Tyler.
Okay.
And Steven said he likes the trails around Crystal Bridges.
Those are pretty fabulous.
A lot of trails. A lot of people answered trails. Either
I like the trails.
I do, too.
I'm a big fan. I'm sorry I didn't have them growing up.
But you have them now.
I have them now, yes.
Also got a lot of people who said they like hanging out at Devil's Den.
Yes. I haven't been out there this summer. I need to make it out there.
So Steven Tyler will mail you the Naturals vouchers, the Malco movie passes, and the koozie, and then we'll let you know who to contact about picking the Trike Theater production of Seussical Jr.
Congratulations. Thanks for listening. And we'll have another giveaway next Thursday.
And I already know the answer to this question.
Uh-oh.
What's your favorite Dr. Seuss work?
My favorite Dr. Seuss work?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Oh, I thought I knew this.
Do you? What do you think it is?
Oh, The Places You Will Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Mine is Green Eggs and Ham.
Of course it is.
Okay. Why? Why of course?
I don't know.
Okay.
Next time on NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia, we'll revisit some of our more crafty and sneaky games in our really hard edition.
The Great Gatsby Beetle Bailey?
Yes!
Yes. I don't get it.
Join me, Ophir Eisenberg, for NPR's guiltiest and most puzzling pleasure, Ask Me Another.
Listen to Ask Me Another Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KUAF.
Anna Horton and Joel Ludford are two of the seven-member band Don't Stop Please. After waiting tables for a time and seeing jazz bands perform in restaurants, Anna thought it was time to quit service work and make money performing. Partnering with Joel, the jazz duo Handmade Moments was formed. They began by performing jazz standards, then began writing their own songs. Next week, Handmade Moments will release a self-titled album. The duo recently came into the Furman Garner Performance Studio to speak with Ozarks at Large's Christina Karnatz. They started by telling Christina about the differences between playing in a large band versus a duo, including the need to be more focused.
It seems like our songs have to be a little bit shorter and more to the point when it's just a couple people, you know? You have to take the folk route with it, the kind of singer-songwriter route. Don't Stop Please is a seven-piece band, so it's nice playing with two people. You get to really, your songwriting gets to shine, and the simplicity of the melody and the voices really shines. And sometimes with seven people, it can be hard to get a cohesive song to come out of that group, you know? So it's a lot of fun to take a break from that, have some breathing room, and sit around the campfire and have that whole vibe.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya vibe.
Kumbaya.
As opposed to the party, rock and roll, sex, drugs, and sleeping until 1 a.m. Wait.
1 p.m.
What? See? I'm still confused from the rock and roll tour.
Right.
It's still a number.
It's rough.
It's a lot easier, though, traveling as a duo, for sure. Joel and I like to play a lot of farmers markets, and farmers markets happen really early in the mornings, so it's cool that we can just, like, wake up and go as a duo.
That's a big part of Handmade Moments, is playing farmers markets and playing in open public spaces and playing outside and playing benefits and playing a lot of free outdoor shows, things like that. We really like that vibe of just playing music for people as they're hanging out.
Well, so Anna, you mentioned that when you started Handmade Moments that you quit your jobs. Mm-hmm. And then, Joel, you just mentioned free shows. So, you know, are you able to sustain yourself?
Yeah. Well,
yourselves?
It's all definitely evolved from, like, Handmade Moments is way different now than it was when it started. When it started, we were, like, a jazz trio playing jazz songs at restaurants, and that's how we made our money. And, I mean, we have relatively cheap lifestyles. But as time went on, we started playing a lot more original music, and then we became a duo and traveling a lot. Like, now we're more of, like, a folk jazz duo, and we still, you know, make money from music, and we're able to pay our bills, thankfully, and all that good stuff. We definitely have, like, the motto, like, free shows always pay off. I think they always pay off, whether you're playing for a benefit to help someone else out or you're just playing for some kind of community gathering. You're always going to make new fans, and you'll, like, usually make tips or sell CDs, or, you know, people will hear you and then they'll come out to your next show. So yeah, free shows, they're not just free. Like, they always pay off in their own way, for mm-hmm. sure.
Original songs. You have a new album coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's all original songs?
All the... Three.
Three?
Okay.
All the three.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have three old jazz standards.
What are those old songs?
One of them is a Gershwin tune, Do It Again. Another one is a Cole Porter song, Night and Day. And then another one is a song called Crazy He Calls Me. It's just like this old song.
It's just an old
Billie Holiday sang it.
Yeah.
And we heard it. We were on tour with our band, Don't Stop Please. In Chicago last year, and we heard it at this old jazz bar off of this jukebox that played 45s, and we picked that song and we're like, oh my god, I gotta learn this song. So that one's on the record, and then all the rest are originals.
Just the title sounded familiar to me, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy He Calls Me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We can play a little bit of it for you.
Alright.
Sample it.
I say I'd move the mountains, and I move the mountains. If he wants them out of the way. Crazy he calls me, so I'm crazy. Say hello. shame.
Just going to tease you. Just a little bit of it.
Just a little bit of it.
I can't give you the whole thing. Well, yeah.
It sounds familiar. It's
a familiar
yeah,
old song.
Yeah, it does sound familiar, for
it's
sure.
It's a pretty one. Yeah, we were happy when we found it.
Well, so, you know, you mentioned some like you said, staples in jazz. And you, Anna, mentioned that you've been singing jazz for a really long time. So mm-hmm. did you grow up listening to jazz? I mean, is this something that, you know, I mean, since you were little, your parents kind of introduced you to jazz?
I grew up listening to a lot of Beatles music. But I also listened to a whole bunch of early blues music when I was first learning guitar. And a lot of early jazz music as well, Dixieland, blues, and jazz. And I really liked just the smooth blues sound and the smooth like bossa nova sound and the cool rhythms. And that always got me interested. So I've kind of been playing a folky, jazzy, bluesy type of guitar since I started. Anna's been singing jazz since she was a baby, right?
I started off with, I used to really be into Frank Sinatra and Judy Garland when I was like really, really young, when I was like maybe 4. I remember being obsessed with Judy Garland. And then when I was like 10, my godmother, who's like the coolest lady in the world, Carol, got me this Billie Holiday CD and a Louis Armstrong CD and an Ella Fitzgerald CD. And I played those until I completely wore them out, I learned every song.
For this album, you had Trout Fishing in America. I mean, they helped you produce it. You were in the studio with them,
yeah,
right?
And I mean, they're a lot of the album.
Yeah, they're pretty big locally, and they're, you know, big nationally as well. How did you get hooked up with them?
We met them at an Omni event. Actually, we played for the Omni Center, a fundraiser that they were doing, and that's where we met Ezra. And we're friends with his daughter Dana,
and her awesome band Heirloom.
Yeah, and it just worked out perfectly after that. I saw Ezra a few days later. And he was like, come out Wednesday, and we'll talk about it. And we started recording that Wednesday, and yeah, the rest was history. The next time we came in, Keith was there, and he laid down bass on 8 of the tracks on the record. And it was such a cool recording experience, like really positive, really fun, and yeah, good times all around.
It's really easy working with a duo like Trout Fishing America because
they're another duo.
They get it, yeah. They're another duo. They understand what we're having, what we work with on stage, and how each person on, like, plays a lot and takes up a lot of space to fill the sound up. So they were super understanding of our style and our vibe. And I think one of the most important things about a studio is having a producer or sound engineer that really understands what you're trying to do and supports you and likes the music. So I think we both feel very honored to work with Trout Fishing America, and very honored that they like our music enough to want to record it with us and record it for us and for really, really pretty much nothing, you know.
There's
no charge. We've been helping them out garden and different mm-hmm. things like that. So it's been a wonderful trade, and it's been awesome to be a part of their lives and have successful musicians say, hey, you guys are worth taking a chance with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I feel really honored right now.
Really beautiful experience, for sure.
Well, so, and they'll be performing with you at your CD release party?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ezra and Keith are going to play with us for our set, and then Dana Louise is opening, and they'll probably play with her too. We'll see. And then Adam Cox is going to open too, from Cletus Scott Shot.
Well, will you play a few songs for us?
Sure.
Totally. Cool. This song is called See Dick Run. This huge globalism, corporatism, patriarchal control that's going on. Like, it might seem hopeless, like a hopeless fight, but at the end of the day, it's not. You know, we all have our power to do what we do, and it's all changing all the time. So.
One, two, three.
them free. If they don't want to pay the cost, don't make them do it anyway. Cause why would I mind my manners when I'm whining and dying with the biggest, baddest in the land?
So this next one's a political jam about
saving the water.
Saving the water, and about how common folks aren't really destroying the world, or at least they're not meaning to. It's these giant corporations and these big bankers that are funding these really terrible projects that profit them at the expense of everyone else. So it's called Bubbling Water. One, two, one, two. Say they've got a damn good start. I'm
station, that's our greatest armor that factory farmer is out to harm us, and know the power of your hands and dollars. If we save the water, we'll save ourselves. If we save the water, we'll save ourselves.
Anna Horton and Joel Ludford make up the folk jazz duo Handmade Moments. They spoke with Ozarks at Large's Christina Karnatz inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. They'll release their first Real Deal EP titled Handmade Moments with a concert Thursday at Smoke and Barrel in Fayetteville. They'll be joined on stage by Trout Fishing in America, Dana Louise of Heirloom, and Adam Cox of Cletus Scott Shot. For more information, handmademoments.net, or you can look for them on Facebook.
Hello, I'm Robert Ginsberg, your host for Shades of Jazz every Friday night from 10 till midnight. On tonight's program, I will feature an interview with Stan Kessler, trumpeter and leader of the Sons of Brazil, the band performing at the next KUAF Summer Jazz Concert. I'll also pay tribute to Charlie Hayden, the stellar bassist who passed away just last week. That's Shades of Jazz tonight at 10 o'clock.
This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Gravett.
Gravett's.
Gravett indeed, yes. What'd you do last night?
I went to Ozark Brewing Company in Rogers. They were having a couple of fun things. A Pure Joy ice cream game, and a Baller Food Truck was also there, so I enjoyed some locally made food.
Very good.
Yeah, it was really good, really good.
Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Christina Karnatz and I will be back Sunday morning at 9 with Weekend Ozarks at Large.
You do anything tonight?
A few things. Nothing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I won't see you at Third Friday in Rogers?
I guess not. No, I have another commitment in Fayetteville.
Okay.
So, but tell everyone in Rogers I said hello.
I will.
Tell everyone in Rogers.
I will tell everyone.
Please do. I would like to tell you that our theme is written and performed by Daryl Sean. You can find him on Facebook and at darylsean.com. His latest CD, In Place. And if you happen to be in New York City tonight, he's playing at Rockwood Hall. We're going to get him back here in town.
We should do that.
Yes, we should. All right. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Antoinette will have the show all by her lonesome on Monday.
Have a good weekend.